So this is a text by Dan Graham, which he wrote April the 10th, 1969. The subject is the artist. The object is to make art slash free. The art world stinks. It is made of people who collectively dig the shit. Now seems to be the time to get the collective shit out of the system. Where does the cycle begin? Let's begin with the individual painter or sculptor ensconced high in his loft world, making his pile of shit. Perhaps is he really shitting in his mind's eye on the world? Having ingested art information and raw material from the shared world, pissing his time away, the labor of his love perhaps deemed to be realized at some other time. The stuff is transformed when it is transposed into imposed higher values, first a gallery, then perhaps a museum, and further extended by translation into the data of art information when reproduced in an art magazine, at which point the artist, seeing the transposition, is pissed off. As time is transposed, money is transposed into private worth for the artist and a high quality for the collector and art critic in this business society. The art world is a collection of people who dig the dirt or pay the artist to dig it for him, to get a piece of the action, the games people play for personal fun and profit, a profitable experience. Everybody has their private part to contribute. For the media, it's just another slice of life slash entertainment. It's time, it seems, to leave all this shit behind. The art world is poisoned. Get out of the country or take a radical stance. According to the dictionary, root, the root of radical and the root of root are the same. Does dirt or evil really make roots? Should art be a lever against the establishment? Make art dangerous? But art is only one item amongst the dangerous commodities being circulated in this society, and unattractive as it may be, one of the least lethal. Withhold. A closed system dies of suffocation. The writer in the past has been presented with an analogous problem. All magazines, in order to survive, are forced to present a well-known point of view, to identify readers with advertisements, just as in the past, the structure of the book as object functioned to repress the author's private interior perspective or vision of life to the private reader who is bought the unique illusion as he reads through the narrative, linear, progressive, continuous from beginning to vanishing endpoint, his perspective as supposed to be altered by a novel insight into the world. He's changed. In Marx, Zola, and Brecht's time, he hopefully motivated to change affect into effecting changes back in the outside world. Magazines, art magazines, continue this fiction of assuming private points of view, whose sum they must assume to be the collective view of its readership and advertisers. They depend exclusively for their economic existence on selling ads to galleries for the most part. For what it's worth to the readers who will buy it, the critic who must sell it, quality in art is all that counts. Time is money, which counts. Man is the measure of all things. For the writer, and recently some called conceptual artists, there's a simple solution. Buy the ads himself. The cycle thus feeds back on itself. Invest in oneself. It's a free society. Actually, it's not the artists, the galleries, the collectors, the critics, or the art magazines who support the structure at all, but the United States government, you and me, geared to corporate needs, which through the tax structure make it profitable to run a non-profitable art business, to buy and donate works to museums, in the process serving the sole purpose of feeding artists and Madison Avenue types in the overall process of making a lot of money for yourself, etc., etc. The conceptual artist conceives of a pure art without material base, conceived simply by giving birth to new ideas, an art that ideally mean and not be of baseball or monopoly in the den, but without ball, bat, gravity, dice, or money. But it's free and like sex, with a minimum of two people, subject-object, inside-outside, yin-yang, receiver-sender, people who take pictures of each other just to prove that they really existed, anyone can play, making their rules as they go along. The artist labored under the myth of trying to define himself and his time in terms of his work, his unique contribution, his raison d'être, rather than be defined by society in their image. But art is an inevitable part of the larger order of society, its language and world shared and interdependent with the language, vision, and stuff of its specific time, life, place, and function. All human brains perceive and think partially in symbols, which have a relationship to external signs available to all, which reduce to various interrelated language systems which relate to the larger social order at a given moment. What does the artist have in common with his friends, his public, his society? Information about himself, themselves, and all ourselves, which is not reduced to ideas or material, but shares in both categories as it has a past, present, and future, time and space. It is neither subjective nor objective truth. It simply is. It is both residue object and neutral ethereal media transcribed. Transcribed upon, translating the content of a single and collective man's internal and external position, work, ideas, activities. The artist is not a machine. The artist shares in mankind's various media of expression, having no better secret or necessarily seeing more inside or outside of things than any other person. Often, he is more calculating. He wants things to be as interesting as possible, to give and have return pleasure, to contribute to the life-enhancing social covenant. Perhaps young artists with their new naivete have replaced the old naivete of their fathers. My opinion, more later. We must go back to the old notion of socially good works as against the private aesthetic notion of good work, i.e. art to go public. And this was spoken at 9:55, I imagine, p.m., at a VA open hearing.